I appreciate the testimonies of the men, and I, too, am thankful that we had the chance to go. It's always a blessing in some regard to go there. You're not going to leave a conference like that and not be blessed in one way or another. And the preaching was good. There's certainly, you know, no criticism on that front at all. But some of the songs they sang this year just had a powerful truth to it. And I really appreciated the music because there were just some amazing truths conveyed in that. Both Brother Chad and Mason touched on those two songs that I was blessed by. But some things were said in the sermon on forgiveness. And I really thought, Pastor, you know, who was preaching at the moment, I thought, shut up. Just shut up, okay? Because I know what I'm preaching Sunday, and I want you to stop, because then it's going to be like a double portion for those who are here. And then I just thought, well, maybe we all need it. So nonetheless, it was just good, and I'm glad we had the chance to go. I know that not everyone can go every year. I get that. But if you get the chance next year, I would encourage you, because it's a blessing and it's helpful. And if you don't, you're okay. I'm just saying it's a blessing. So that in mind, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is good to be in your house tonight. It's good to have this time to sing praises to you. It's good to hear the testimonies of our men and how you've worked in their hearts this last weekend. We are thankful for the effort that the church put forth on our behalf and the behalf of so many others. Lord, it's a freedom that we enjoy, and I thank you for that. The fact that we can be here tonight is a blessing. I pray that you'd help us to just take advantage of this time. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening I'm going to tell you a story that has a principle associated with it in just a moment. I think we have all experienced this at some point in our lives, though, again, the specifics may be different. But this past week, I was taking a shower, and you know what it's like when you're at your house. You know how things work. You have your normal system, your normal routine, and how things are going to go. And so I was in the shower, and I kept waiting for the water to get hot. I was waiting, and I was waiting, and I was waiting, and this was not normal for our shower to take this long to get hot. About the best it would do is get warm enough to not be miserable. So because I'm the one who replaced the hot water heater the last time, I knew how old it was, and I thought to myself, it's probably about time to have to replace the hot water heater. And so you know what this is like if you've been in a situation like this. You begin trying to estimate, what is this going to cost? What did I pay the last time? I wonder how much it's gone up in the years that it's been since I've replaced this, since I've done this. And so I was trying to calculate in my mind, I wonder how much this will cost, how much effort, how much energy will be required. And so I came up with this dollar figure roughly that I was hoping for. And so as I left the house, I knew I needed to kind of address this as early as possible, as quickly as possible. So I was making my way down to Chief, and here is what I knew. It's not going to be free, but maybe, just maybe, because I like them and they like me, maybe it'll be better than what I'm expecting. So I went in there, I talked to him for just a little bit, told him what was going on. Then I asked the question, how much do water heaters run these days? And they just spilled it out, no hesitation, this much. And it kind of made my heart skip a beat. Hot water heaters have gone up quite a bit since the last time I replaced one. And so they told me this number, and they told me this figure, and they weren't being ugly about it. They weren't being rude about it at all. I mean, I checked prices online just to see where we were at and all this, and they were right where everybody else was. And so I knew they weren't, you know, sticking it to me or anything like that. They were being very honest and fair with me. But the principle in that story is this. I heard something I did not want to hear. That was not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear something completely different. Let me ask you something. Have you ever taken your car into the shop expecting this to be the news? And whenever they came back and told you what was wrong with the car, you thought to yourself, I didn't want to hear that. It happens sometimes. Maybe you call the repairman out to look at your washer or your dryer, your refrigerator, whatever it may be, and they tell you it'll cost you more to fix it than it's worth. It's going to cost you more to repair it than to replace it. And you're thinking to yourself, that's not what I wanted to hear. Isn't it amazing how many times we go through life in these different situations, these different scenarios, and we're kind of prepared for something, but we're not prepared for what it is we're actually about to be told? We've all been there. So as you think about that tonight, I want us to think about this truth that sometimes in our spiritual lives, we hear things we don't want to hear. We're kind of cruising through life and we're thinking everything's going good. We're thinking everything's going fine. I mean, we know things aren't perfect, but we feel like things are going pretty good. And then all of a sudden, we're exposed to something in our spiritual lives that's not what we wanted to hear, and we weren't quite ready for that, and we weren't prepared for that, and sometimes that can take us back just a little bit, can't it? It can be difficult, but it does not change the reality of the situation. So you may not like it, it may not be what you wanted to hear, it may not be something that in the moment you appreciate, but it is the case, and it is the situation before you, no matter what. Now, as we keep that in mind, I want us to remember how chapter 18 begins. You may remember you had the disciples coming to Christ with this question, with this concern, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Christ continues at that point to answer their question, and it basically boiled down to this: it is the greatest who is the humblest or the most genuinely humble in their personal lives. Greatness was not determined in the kingdom of God in the same way that greatness would have been determined here on earth. And so Christ illustrated that with the little child that he pulled him to himself. And then Christ went a little bit further and explained this, that if anyone should offend a little child and cause them to no longer have the faith or to believe in Christ that they should, Christ said that it would be worse for that person to have it would be worse for the person to be the offense than to have a millstone tied about their neck and for them to drown into the depths of the sea. And so what Christ was talking about was the adults being an offense to children and taking them away from a personal walk and a personal relationship with Christ. That is something you don't want to mess with. That is something you don't want to toy with. You and I better not ever be guilty of such. That should scare us. That in mind, here is what you see as you read through the next few verses of the scripture of this chapter, is that Christ speaks on this subject, the ability of people to offend one another. The ability of people to offend one another. So he broadens the category, he broadens the subject of conversation. So now he's no longer just talking about an adult who may be an offense to a child. He is now talking about this truth that offenses are going to come. Let me ask you something this evening. How many of us have ever been offended by the actions of someone else? We've all been offended, have we not, at the actions of someone else? Someone has said something that we didn't appreciate. Someone has done something that we didn't like. We have all been offended by the actions of others. And I want us to consider something tonight, just so that we're aware of this as we make our way through the text, that so long as you and I are alive, people will continue to offend us. It's not like offenses only happen to children, teenagers and those in their mid-20s. And then once you reach a point, people really begin to respect your age and your maturity. And so therefore, they go out of their way to make sure they don't offend you. That's not the way it works, right? I would suspect there are some in here tonight who are older than me by a few years, and they would say this: there are still times that people do things to you, and it is an offense to you. So offenses come, and we know that people offend us. They do things that we don't appreciate. But for just a moment, let's think about this. And again, it was touched on in the testimony just a moment ago. But I want us to think about this, that just as we have been offended, we have also been offensive. Come on now. It's not just us who has been offended. We are oftentimes offensive to other people. We say things that that person did not appreciate. We do things that should not have been done. And when we do those things, we are as offensive to them as others have been to us. Somebody says, well, I just don't live a very offensive lifestyle. Yeah, that's what you think. You know, I would say, man, I go through life and I'm pretty careful. I don't seek to offend anyone, right? I don't seek to offend anyone, but I manage to do it sometimes just by being a sinful creature. All right, so we are going to be offended and we are going to continue to be offended all the days of our lives. And unfortunately, because of our sin nature, we will continue to be offensive to people because we're just going to fail in that area of life. So as we think about that tonight, we could approach this message from a couple of different angles, but here's how we're going to approach it tonight, and that is this, is when we are the offended party. When we are the offended party, what is supposed to happen? What is supposed to take place? But before we get there, let's think about this. The offenses that come in life, they come in varying degrees, do they not? And all I mean by that is this, is that sometimes things happen and it wasn't really that serious and you're able to blow it off and you're able to dismiss it and you're able to continue on without great interruption. We've all been there. We've all experienced that. But here is what we also know, is sometimes the offenses that come our way, they are great offenses, they are hurtful moments, they are offenses and situations that cut deep and leave deep, deep scars. Could we agree with that? I would suspect tonight, if we were to consider your spiritual body, so to speak, here is what I would suspect, is that you, because of the offenses of others, you have scars that you can still remember what happened. And from the spiritual perspective, so to speak, we could say it like this: you still have tender areas. Are we awake tonight? It's almost as though if somebody were to mention that, whatever that offense was, it could still bring a tear to your eye, a pain to your heart. It may have happened 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, but it's like there is still that tender spot from where that offense took place. And with all the offenses that you and I can experience, with all the offenses that can happen toward us, I want to ask you if you're like me in this regard, that one of the offenses that bothers you probably as much as anything is the repeated offense. Following this? It's the same offense over and over and over again. They've said something, and it was offensive. A couple of days later, they've said something, and it was offensive. A few days later, they've done something, and it was offensive. I'll just say for myself, whenever the offense is repeated over and over and over again, I struggle with that. I have a hard time getting past that like I ought. And I know that I've said this before, this idea, this thought, this principle. But what I struggle with and what some of you struggle with is something that has been a struggle for thousands of years. How do we know? Well, if we look tonight in Matthew chapter 18, again, remembering that Christ is speaking to his disciples, he's dealing with the subject of offenses and what all is involved in that. We have Peter in verse number 21 coming to Christ. And here is what I think Peter understood. This is what I think Peter grasped, that in the spiritual life, you have to do some things sometimes that maybe you don't want to do. And so he says in verse number 21, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me or be an offense against me, and I forgive him?" So here's the question that Peter asked of Christ: how often shall my brother sin against me or offend me, and I forgive him? What is Peter concerned about? He is concerned about the subject of forgiveness, right? That is what's on his heart. That is what's on his mind. Lord, how often do I have to forgive someone, a brother who has sinned against me? What does it mean to forgive? Well, the word forgive, it's just simply this idea, and you know this. It is when you let go of the personal offense that someone has done against you and when you no longer hold it against them. So forgiveness is this, is I know that you have done something wrong. You have done something that you should not have done. It was a personal offense to me, but here is what I do. By the grace of God, I choose to no longer hold that against you. So we understand that in and of itself, that is a difficult task. To let go of the offense that hurt us. But again, Peter has this understanding and he has this awareness that in the spiritual life, you've got to do some things sometimes that you maybe don't want to do. And so he comes to Christ with the question, and he's got in his mind, let's listen now, he's got in his mind what he thinks the answer will be or what he thinks is reasonable by way of the answer. So, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? That sounds like a good number, right, Christ? I mean, that sounds fairly gracious, does it not, Christ? I mean, for us to forgive this repeated offender seven times, that's pretty generous of us, isn't it, Christ? That's what most of us would think if we were honest, right? I mean, if Susie offends me once, okay, I'll forgive you of that. You offend me two times, like close together, I'm going to forgive you twice. You're pushing your luck, babe. Am I being real to life or am I just kind of living in my own world? I mean, you come to me the third time with the exact same issues. Okay, I'm starting to question whether or not you're even serious. Four times? Are you kidding me? Five times? This is ridiculous. Six times? This is a joke. Seven times? I'm done with you. And I have been more than gracious. That's what I'm saying to myself. And every one of you, you're the exact same way, whether you want to admit it or not. If your child comes to you seven times with the exact same failures in a very short span of time, you have been limited in your, or you are being tested at your limits as to how gracious you're going to be. If your husband or your wife did what I just explained Susie might possibly do, you're not just going to be real warm and fuzzy with each other for a little bit. Because you already feel like you have gone so much further than what you should have to in a situation like that. So that's not how me and my husband or me and my wife work. Okay, I don't believe it, but imagine that coworker doing that to you. 5, 6, 7 times. You think that we don't think we're being gracious to continue to forgive 5, 6, 7 times? So most of us are familiar with this portion of Scripture and how Christ responded. Here is Peter having in his mind what he thinks is a good number. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee till 7 times, but until 70 times 7. We know what the product is of that multiplication problem, right? We know what the answer is to that question or to that statement that Christ makes. It's 490 times. Here's Peter thinking 7 sounds fair. It sounds reasonable. And what did Christ say? I'm going to set the bar at like 490 times. Don't you know that his heart skipped a beat? And like, I was expecting this. And you just hit me with this. I was expecting, you know, this kind of a number. I had this number in my mind, but you have just completely hit me with something that I wasn't ready for, that I wasn't expecting. And so here is Peter being told by Christ, the number is not 7, the number is 70 times 7. I expect you to forgive 490 times. And we know what Christ was communicating. He was not communicating, all right, start a journal with everyone you know, put their names down, and every time they offend you, mark one off, and when you get to 490 times, you can finally wipe them off your sheet, so to speak, and you don't have to forgive them anymore. But what was Christ saying? He was just saying this. You just keep forgiving. You just keep forgiving. It doesn't matter how many times the offense has taken place. It doesn't matter how many times in a close amount of time it has taken place. It does not matter. Here is your responsibility as a Christian. You just keep forgiving. You let go of the offense. You choose to let go of the pain. You choose to let that person, for lack of better words, off the hook, and you're not going to hold it against them anymore. You just keep forgiving. I do not know of an honest believer who could say this, that does not present a challenge to their spiritual life. Just keep forgiving. That is not what my flesh wants to do. My flesh does not want to just keep forgiving over and over and over again. But that is what Christ said to Peter. This is the way it's got to be. This is the way it has to be. And so as you think about the subject of forgiveness, we hear this, or at least I do, and I hear this number and what's expected of me, and I think that's, humanly speaking, it's an impossible task. But I was reminded, again, familiar words I know to most of us, but I was reminded of what else Christ had to say on this subject of forgiveness. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount. And here is what Christ said whenever the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. One of the things that he said was this, is that we should pray that we should be forgiven as we forgive our debtors or those who have sinned against us. So, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. What does that mean whenever Christ said to do so as we forgive our debtors? It means this, in similar fashion. We need to be reminded of this. It means to do so in a similar or like fashion. So what is Christ saying to the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 on the subject of forgiveness? He is saying this, that your prayer needs to be that God would forgive you like you forgive other people. Now, friends, I don't know if we really want to pray that sometimes. Because I don't always want God to forgive me like I forgive other people. Or like I'm telling them I am forgiving them. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, let me just ask you if this has ever happened. Somebody offends you, and maybe they had the decency as an individual to come to you and say, listen, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? How many of us, if we were honest, we would have to say this. It was a very, very, very delayed forgiveness. We're talking like days, maybe weeks, or even months. Father, forgive me in the same manner in which I forgive others. Now, is that really how we want God to forgive us when we have failed Him repeatedly? The answer is no. We do not want God to say, yeah, I'll forgive you in a couple of days. Yeah, I'll forgive you in a couple of weeks. Yeah, maybe in a couple of months I'll get over it. Yeah, I'll forgive you eventually. No, that's not how forgiveness is supposed to work. And again, this goes completely against our nature, especially if it is a repeated offense. But Christ said, you just keep forgiving, you just keep forgiving, you just keep forgiving, and you pray that I'll forgive you in the same manner in which you forgive others. Boy, that's a challenge right there. Because we can be pretty slow in how we do it. Sometimes this is how we forgive people, or at least this is how I forgive people sometimes. Yeah, I forgive you. And then it's cold after that. We ever been there? Amen. We've said the right thing. Yeah, I forgive you. But our spirit and our attitude and our interaction with that one who has offended us, it is not right at all. You got to ask yourself, or at least I need to, is that really how I want Christ to forgive me? Yeah, I'll forgive you, Kyle. Psh, whatever. Now, I'll forgive you, Kyle, but I'm not hearing your prayers for a while because this is ridiculous. That's not what I want. If you and I are going to consider this subject of forgiveness and the fact that we've got to just keep on forgiving over and over and over and over again, if we want God to forgive us in the same manner in which we forgive others, I think sometimes we need to look at how we forgive people or think we have forgiven people and say, is that really what I want from God? And if that's not what we want from God, then you know what we need to do? We need to change how we're forgiving people and do it immediately. And that takes some serious grace in our lives. Oftentimes, more grace than we're willing to let God produce in our lives. So that's one element of it. But then Christ also said this in the Sermon on the Mount as related to the subject of forgiveness. He said, but if we forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Think about the simplicity of that statement. If you do not forgive, do not expect to be forgiven. That sounds harsh in a way, does it not? But at the same time, does it not sound completely fair? Okay, so you want to sin against me, child of God. You want to just do the same thing over and over and over again. And what do you want to do? You want to keep coming back to the throne of grace saying, God, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. And you just want me to forgive you immediately. And you want me to cast it into the sea. As far as the east is from the west, you don't want it to be remembered anymore. You don't want me to bring that up again, right? Oh, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, but you don't want to do that for someone else? Yeah, if you're not going to forgive others, don't expect me to forgive you. You tell me that that's not tough. And I'll tell you, you don't understand what we're talking about. I'm just being honest with us tonight as best I can. Things have happened in my life, and I have held on to those things for a long, long time. I honestly, to an extent, don't know if part of the pain was the result of the healing process or a result of my lack of forgiveness. I don't know, but I do know this. That I have chosen in my heart at times to not forgive. Will you please forgive me? Yeah. But on the inside, you know what I was saying? No. Hey, I'm sorry. Could we move forward and make things right and things be what they're supposed to be? We'll see. Kind of depends on how you act from here on out, but we'll see. And it's kind of like I've said, one. But you do it again, no. I wonder how many of us tonight would have to be honest and say this, that we have had moments in our lives where we chose to not forgive the offending party. We'd have to say something like this: it just hurt too bad. It was just too painful. It was far too personal. It's something that shouldn't have ever happened. It was something that shouldn't have ever taken place. And I just haven't been able to forgive them. And I don't know that I ever will forgive them. You know what we've got to be reminded of? If we don't forgive, we don't get to enjoy forgiveness. I think if we're honest, many of us tonight would have to admit this. God, I need a lot more grace in my life toward other people. Is it just a couple of us who struggle with this? Or is it possible that probably more of us than we'd like to admit need more grace so that we might forgive in the same way that we want God to forgive us? It's possible. I don't know that it's happening, but it's possible that tonight, some right now, if I said to you, is there something in your life that's still painful to you and you still haven't gotten over? You might be able to say, yeah, it's right there. It's still on the surface. It's still something that's sensitive. I'm not saying that it's not the result of a deep wound, but I would say this: it might be the result of you choosing to not forgive them yet. Is there any room for improvement in this matter of forgiveness? We kind of have an idea as to how we want it to look like Peter did. I want it to look like this. I want it to sound like this. This is how I want it to be. And the Word of God says, that may be what you had in your mind, but that's not the reality of it. This is what you've got to do, and this is how you've got to do it, and you've got to keep on doing it. Friends, it's hard. You know it. I'm not surprising you with that. But sometimes we need to hear this because we can justify a lack of forgiveness. We can justify it. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. We're not going to put up with it anymore. It's ridiculous. We shouldn't still be dealing with this. Right. And I wonder how many times God could say the same thing of us. We've got to forgive over and over and over in the same manner that we want God to forgive us. And that takes grace. And that's got to be an area of prayer on the part of each of us. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we come to you this evening, God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to take a moment and maybe just be honest before you about some offense that has taken place in our life that we really haven't forgiven like we should. Maybe we've looked at it as a repeated offense that is no longer worthy of forgiveness, or maybe we've looked at it as an offense that is too great and too painful to overcome. I don't know what it would be. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be honest before you, to acknowledge that that's not how we would want to be treated by you. So therefore, we can't treat others like that. God, I pray that you'd bless the invitation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.